So, just to wrap up then, if we could go back to the... The MMCD has proven very successful since 1995, at least partly due to fairness and the ease of use and understanding. But it is a specialty contract. It's designed for a purpose, and if you're going to use it for something else, you need to understand its limitations and modify it accordingly. The CA's role is critical to the success of an MMCD contract. A good CA and a good superintendent will make the job go well. But both of those people have to be in place throughout the course of the job. The contractor is responsible for strict compliance, but the CA is responsible for general conformance. Again, just to hit it one more time, nothing gets the contractor off the hook except a written release from the CA. The documents are structured so that the contractor retains the liability and the responsibility that they bought when they tendered. The owner retains all risk that's not explicitly sold through the contract language. And in fact, we protect the contractor from excessive risk by having an unforeseen conditions clause, a hazardous materials clause, and a quantity variations clause. These three do an awful lot to protect the contractor from having to put big risk allowances into the tender document or into his bid price. The owner is protected from excess risk through an ability to evaluate more than just money when awarding the tender. The no surprises requirements of the documentation that allow or require problems to be brought forward at the earliest opportunity when everybody can brainstorm good ideas to solve them, and the use of actual costs for force account work instead of some fictitious schedule that was submitted with the tender. So I've talked about the difference between changes and extra work. I've talked about the requirement that disputes have a process and really strict timelines, that daily force account record keeping is mandatory, that we make a distinction between quality assurance and quality control, that the CA is required to be impartial when interpreting the contract documents, evaluating quality and completeness, and calculating payments due and withheld. And finally, that the waiver of claims kicks in for both parties at substantial and again at total performance to protect against surprises and problems that never end. And I think I've got another couple of questions here. Question is, do you take lien holdbacks following substantial performance? The lien holdbacks should have been taken all the way through and paid out 55 days after the substantial performance certificate is issued. And work that is done beyond that, I don't believe requires substantial or requires lien holdbacks, but I'd have to say that that's probably something a lawyer should give an opinion on. So we have a website, mmcd.net, and I think you'll all be getting an email related to this. You can check it to see when our courses are going to be, what changes to the documents are being discussed or approved. You can call support services here. They'll direct your questions or inquiries to the appropriate people. They'll get you books and other documents. We encourage you to offer to participate in committees if you're interested, and to take other classes as may be appropriate for you.